going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. A show that is giving you your pick six at six. It's been a while since we did one of those, but the pick six is coming up. Six most important things you'll need to hear from Adam Peters coming up at 6 o'clock. But right now, it's our pleasure to welcome back to the show our man who stole our hearts every single Tuesday during the football season, and he's back to steal it again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Tischler Tuesday. Mitch Tischler is here. Mitchell, hello,
hey.
My friend.
I'm doing great. I love hearing the air horns. We're ready to go.
We are so ready to go. Although I have questions about you, Mitchell, and whether you're actually properly fired up. Because I heard that on your Beltway Football podcast that you co-host with JP Finley, you guys did a mock draft, and on all of your picks, you did, which is, I presume, half of them in the first round, you didn't pick a single offensive lineman. Mitchell, have you changed this offseason? Are you okay? Is this a call for help?
It should be. It might be a call for help. I'll tell you, with the Commanders trade for Laremy Tunsil this offseason, there certainly needs to get younger on the interior of that offensive line. But I like what I saw from Brandon Coleman last year. I think he's ultimately going to be your right tackle. Laremy Tunsil solidifies the left side. This is a team that can be built to win right now. And while I loved hearing Adam Peters and, you know, Dan Quinn over the entire offseason talk about wanting to continue the pace, you know, build the right way, do all these things that they've talked about since they got here, I think you're in a position now where you can start kind of picking and choosing guys who you think can help you right away and help take you to that next level. And right now, I don't see the offensive line as a number one need, especially for a team that doesn't have a ton of draft capital.
So just to be clear, this was a Commanders-only mock draft. This wasn't you and JP like splitting a first-round mock and somehow you didn't take a single offensive lineman for anyone. That would have been really concerning.
You heard the problem. It was just
okay.
The Commanders
right.
pick.
That was...
And it was only the picks with no trades being considered, even though ultimately I think they end up trading out of the first round.
Yeah, I think they would love to trade out of the first round. The problem is so would, I think, five or six other teams in that entire range, and there's not going to be that many teams that want to come up. So we'll see, although there's a ton of quarterback stuff flying these last couple of days. We're in the middle of silly season. I don't know what to believe, but could forego in the first round? It'd certainly help the Commanders if they want to trade out. As for the question we've kind of been asking folks on the phones, and I've been asking various guests, I think we're going to do a whole montage of this on Thursday, is who's your guy? Like, who's the guy that you want to see on the board? And if he is, you are then going, Adam, please pick up the phone, send in the card. I want this guy that is a reasonable guy to pick here. You can't say like Abdul Carter. But outside of him or some of the other top guys, who's the guy you want to see on the board at 29 for Washington?
That didn't stop Adam Peters from saying Abdul Carter today.
I know. That was a very funny moment. I enjoyed that.
I don't know how reasonable it is because ultimately I don't think he's going to be there, but I think Shamar Stewart would be super interesting if he's still sticking around at 29. I think he's one of the best edge rushers, one of the guys that's going to be able to get out to the quarterback or be able to contribute the quickest in this draft. And the number one thing that I loved reading about him, and the same goes for Nick Scowerton, who's the other Texas A&M edge rusher, is that both of them were responsible in the run. And to me, as much as I want to get a guy who's going to step in and get double-digit sacks, That's obviously, you know, ultimately what you want if you're taking a first-round edge rusher. I want someone who's able to do both, somebody who has a responsibility and knows how to play within a defense. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can look at with both of those Texas A&M defensive ends and their, you know, numbers production as far as you look at stat-wise for them. And it leaves a lot to be desired, but it's because they both were asked to play within a defense. And I love that these kids both showed a ton of athleticism and also were able to get some quarterback pressures, but also play within a defense and help, you know, kind of support the run. And ultimately, we saw last year what happens if your defensive ends aren't able to, you know, help support the run much. And ultimately, if they do end up sticking around in the first round, I want an edge rusher who has the athleticism and has the physical traits to become a great pass rusher, but is also heady enough and responsible enough and mature enough to understand that there's more to being a defensive end than strictly sack numbers.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast for Monumental Sports, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So we've talked about Stewart a lot on this show because I think he's fascinating, but you brought up something that I think is really important, which is he is a good run player in terms of an edge setter. The devil's advocate, so I will bring up the thing that you know is coming and let you respond to it, is his sack production was bupkis. He had one of the highest missed tackle rates in college football, period, last year. He missed 26% of his tackles. And so while he led Texas A&M in pressures with 39, he'd never had more than a sack and a half in a season. Is that something, like, one, how concerning is that? And two, I guess the more important question would be, Mitchell, do you feel like Dan Quinn and this defensive staff could actually help fix those problems?
So that, to me, that's what I look at, is I look at what this defensive staff has done with players in the NFL over the course of two decades and their ability to help, you know, help them reach higher levels. And the fact that you're able to get those pressures, you're able to get to the quarterback, to me, that shows that you have the physical traits to be a explosive edge rusher. You might just not have the discipline or whatever to break down and make the play at the point of attack. And I'm hoping that that's something that they can teach this kid. I look at another kid like James Pierce. He's the edge from Tennessee.
Yeah.
2 years ago, double digit sack was looking like he was going to be a top five, top 10 player. Last year, the sack numbers dwindled dramatically. He still has a high number of pressures. So to me, you know, we've talked about it when we talked about, you know, the defensive tackles that the Commanders have had, the John Allens, the different group of guys, and, you know, the effect of having quarterback pressures, and maybe they don't finish the plays and get there, but ultimately, you know, you want to have somebody who's going to be up in a quarterback's face and get there. And I think that you saw a guy like Shamar Stewart do those things. And I think with, you know, some technique fixes and, you know, some physical changes for these kids, I think that they can help. I think this coaching staff, the strength and conditioning staff, can kind of help them, you know, get to a better place where they don't lose the speed, the quickness, the bend, all those different things, but they're able to get into a better position to make plays once they get there. And ultimately, you know, I think that's what you have to hope with kind of any of these defensive edge guys that are going to drop down to the end of the first round. Is you're going to need that. All those guys are going to have, you know, nits to pick, if you will. And you're going to have to find the ones that you think are, you know, inherent to the player or ones that can be coached into them. And to me, for a guy like Shamar Stewart, he's able to get to the point where he can make a play. He just hasn't been able to get it done. To me, that's something that's coaching, that's teaching, that's technique, and that I think that this coaching staff can get into him.
I tend to agree. And at 29, you're not going to find a better piece of clay. And for edge, like, that's kind of what you want, is the traits. And while I definitely have my questions, and I think if he and Donovan Ezeraku were on the board, I'd probably take Ezeraku. The dude's 6'5", 270, and is a freakazoid of an athlete. Like, you just,
right.
you can't do that. By the way, are you familiar with Nick Scorton's story, since you mentioned him as well, Stewart's teammate?
That's what I was going to bring up, was, you know, we've seen the type of players that this coaching staff like the pick, team captains, team leaders, guys like that. You know, Nick Scorton was a guy who was at Purdue. He was a team captain as a sophomore. He led the Big Ten in tackles, in sacks, and then left in the portal and went to A&M. He's the kind of player, when you start talking about the, you know, in the locker room, off the field traits that this coaching staff loves to target, he's the type of guy that I think makes a lot of sense. And so when I bring up the Texas A&M edge rushers, maybe I'm giving myself a little wiggle room, but I like both of those kids a lot, and I think there's a good chance that if either of them are there, that the Commanders might jump there.
For sure. And so here's for this is from The Beast, Dame Brugler's draft guide. I didn't know this about Nick Scorton. Nick Scorton, one of three children, grew up in Timpson in East Texas with his mother, Ashley Caraway. He started playing organized football for the first time in seventh grade. As his mother worked long hours, Scorton later found himself in danger of flunking out of school. At the start of his sophomore year, his best friend, Andrew Bubar, convinced his parents to allow Scorton to live with them temporarily, but that short stay turned into much more. Nick's mother eventually signed over his guardianship to Andrew's father, Lane, the principal at Bryan High School, and mother, Cindy, and Nick stayed with the Bubar family for the remainder of high school. In college, he officially changed his last name from Caraway to Scorton to reflect the quote-unquote best friend relationship with his biological father, Nicky Scorton. Like, so this is kind of like the movie The Blind Side, and hopefully it doesn't end in lawsuits a decade from now because they're actually terrible people. But, like, that's a crazy story, and talk about, like, a guy who's had to earn it. That is always something that the Commanders look for. So there, I'm glad you brought up Nick Scorton, and that made me go read his background piece in The Beast, Mitch. So thanks. Oh, if nothing else, we got that out of this radio hit today.
I mean, Dane Brugler's Beast is one of the best pieces of work that's done around the NFL the entire season. But what I like about Scorton is he has the same kind of similar metric numbers as far as our stat numbers, at least as far as Shamar Stewart goes. And I think that speaks to kind of the Texas A&M defensive game plan for the edge rushers. And the fact that he produced the way that he did at Purdue, you know, Purdue's not the greatest team in the Big Ten, but that is, you know, Power Five football. And to put up the sack numbers that he did shows you that he has the ability to ultimately do that. Now, he's not as much of an athletic freak as Shamar Stewart is, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be a solid NFL player. And I like the idea of both of those kids ultimately donning the burgundy and gold, potentially. Yeah,
for sure. And it's Scorton, if they do trade back, he's probably likely to be available in the early or late 30s, potentially, as well. I don't know who knew. He could also be a first-round pick. That's kind of the wackiness of this class.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Mitch, the other like big-picture thing that we've been kicking around this week is, what kind of risk tolerance should Adam Peters have at 29? I'm pretty sure they'll take someone with the Commanders tag. So that takes a guy like a James Pierce probably off the board. But even a guy like Stewart, where the production wasn't there from a sack number, versus a guy like Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver from Ohio State. I know exactly who that guy is. Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama. Now I'm speaking to your O-line heart. I know exactly who that guy is. At 29, with where the Commanders are as a team right now, what's your risk tolerance to take a swing on a guy that's super talented but unproven versus maybe a guy with a little bit of a lower ceiling, which you're pretty sure you know what you're going to get?
The one thing that's good about the craziness in college football right now with NIL and transfer portals and all that stuff is you're getting older players that are coming out of the draft. And, you know, last year with Jaden Daniels, people were trying to use that as a knock against him. And I think, you know, especially those of us in Washington that have seen this kid, you know, been around this kid, you recognize that the older they are, the more mature they are, the more ready they are to you know, commit to being an NFL player and living the NFL lifestyle, not the, you know, not the celebrity lifestyle that some folks fall into. So I think as you look at these guys, I don't know that there's as much risk with a lot of them as you start looking at kind of the edge of the first round and where the Commanders are picking. Ultimately, I think you need to hit in the first round regardless, but I think you particularly need to hit considering, you know, the previous 4 years of Ron Rivera picks and, you know, how bare bones the cupboard was when this new regime came in. The one thing I like about them is that, you know, they're kind of forward thinking. You know, you look at the Johnny Newton pick and you recognize that, okay, they were planning for life after John Allen / Daron Payne, whichever one they decided. I don't think they're going to go tackle in the first round. I don't think they're going to necessarily go O-line in the first round. But you can look at it and see, hey, is Laremy Tunsil maybe, you know, a rental player? Is he going to be here long term? Do we want to start building up, you know, the future there? And the fact that these guys aren't as obsessed with, you know, finding, you know, the one missing piece that's going to put them over the edge, but building a franchise, building a team 1-53, and obviously even further down than that when you start looking at practice squads and stuff like that. I really like the approach that they take to it. And so as much as, you know, I don't think that they're going to, you know, go to a particular position, I think we have to have our eyes open that they, if they see a player that they think, you know, has value at a particular spot, you know, they're going to go out and get them. And I think the other side of the coin to that is, you know, is a guy like Brandon Coleman, who when they picked in the second round last year, there was a run on tackles and it felt like, okay, the Commanders need a tackle. They got to go get one now. But they were confident that they liked Brandon Coleman. They thought that he was going to be able to be a contributor and have the confidence, I guess is the word, to stick to their board and go and get Mikey Fainter still in that spot, but trust that Brandon Coleman was going to drop them in the third round. And, you know, Coleman had an up and down year. I'm not saying that he's, you know, a future all pro or anything like that, but he gave you enough in last year that you can see that he can be a contributing NFL player, a contributing NFL starter on a team. And so as I look at the draft, I kind of like the way Adam Peters kind of has that, you know, ebb and flow of going to get guys who can help them right away, but also understanding that you need to build this roster up because the depth on this roster just isn't there right now.
So with that said, Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with us here on the Hoffman Show, is there any position outside of quarterback or a specialist? So I'm not trying to pull a quick one on kicker, punter, long snapper here. Outside of the specialist and quarterback, is there any position that you would be upset, miffed, question if they took in the first round?
I think fans are going to hate this, but I just believe it's the evolution of the position. I would hate to see a running back go in the first round. I would love to see them take one on day three, somebody who you think has some traits that can help you out. But to me, if you're not getting the top flight running back, I think they're all kind of a dime a dozen. You look around the league outside of, you know, the Derrick Henrys of the world and the Saquon Barkleys, obviously, I think they're all pretty interchangeable. And certainly Brian Robinson gave you a lot. There was a lot to be desired with B-Rob last year. But I do think the addition of Laremy Tunsil, and ultimately I think whatever happens with the combination on the right side with Wiley, Brandon Coleman, Trent Scott, whatever they kind of decide to do there, I do think this offensive line as a whole looks better. And ultimately I think that helps the running back position. And, you know, I just don't want to spend top draft capital on positions that are, you know, kind of easily filled with, you know, you can get almost equal production from what you have already or from guys that much later in the draft.
No, I agree with that outside of if Hampton falls. Like, if obviously Genty's not falling, but if Hampton is there at 29, like, that dude could be a game changer. He could be one of those top blue chip guys, which is why I've said I'm good with anything. But I think my anything at running back ends after those two guys, where I think there's a lot of other, whether it's fans or even draft analysts or maybe even GMs, who would happily take Caleb Johnson or Travion Henderson or whatever. But the fact that none of them agree on who the third guy is, I think kind of proves our point, Mitch, that after the first two, I'll wait.
And ultimately, if they end up dealing that number 29 pick and get a, you know, mid-second round pick or maybe an extra a third round pick or something like that, Travion Henderson would be an awesome fit for this offense and for this team, just not at 29. To me, 29 is a spot that you need to go after one of the more premium positions. And I think, as much as we've talked about edge, I think you also have to talk about corner there, because this team is putting a lot of faith at the moment in terms of the moves that they've made, in the fact that Marshawn Lattimore is going to be, you know, the player that we thought he was going to be before he came to Washington, and not as much the player that we saw him to be in a couple of games here. But that corner depth is mighty narrow right now, and you have a couple guys who can help you out in the slot and maybe can play on the outside a little bit more. But if Marshawn Lattimore turns out to not be, you know, the player that they think he is, then you're really, really short at corner. So I think there has to be a conversation about corner there. But to me, first round's got to, for the most part, has to be a premium position.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Let's wrap there, because I heard you say that on the roundtable on John Kimes' podcast. By the way, the comedy quality on that podcast, ooh, buddy, took me right back into the media room where no jokes are good. I love each and every single person that was on that show, just to be clear. Just the punchline comedy, Mitchell. That was a lot.
Listen, I think folks see our interaction amongst the media corps on Twitter, on Instagram, on all of its different social medias or whatever, and they get a feel for kind of how we all interact with each other. But it's a lot of fun when we do those kinds of podcasts and folks get to listen to it and see it. And, you know, listen, there are a lot of real bad jokes, and John Kine is king of dad jokes, so I love him for it.
It's the best, but also the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell you, Mitchell, with the Zoom delay, they play really well in the room.
Well, that was just John waiting for the last track. I'm surprised.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. I was listening, not watching. You know who absolutely loves this conversation, if he's listening, is John Kime. Anyway, I heard you on John's show make the point that you just referenced about Marshawn Lattimore, and it's kind of like, hey, they need someone to play with Mikey and Lattimore. And it's like, what if Lattimore is the guy that we saw last year? So how does that affect your thinking at 29? And is there anybody you've got circled that you think would be worth taking with that pick if they're available?
Will Johnson, who's another Michigan corner. I don't know that he's going to be there then, but certainly he's another player that fits the prototype that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have kind of put out there and are talking about. You know, wanting a guy with high football IQ, a guy who, you know, is able to kind of go after the football, make plays on it. And obviously they had so much success with Mikey Sainristil last year that I'm sure they wouldn't hate to double dip into that Michigan world. But there's a kid out of Kansas that I like a lot, Mello Dotson. And I think he's a super interesting player. He's a little bit older, kind of very similar to what Mikey Sainristil was for Michigan, for that Kansas football team. He was a team leader, and he's a guy who has, you know, it's funny because for any other team or any other draft, I would bring up the fact that he has, you know, he had a bunch of interceptions and he had a bunch of pick sixes and got the ball back. But after all the Emmanuel Forbes talk, I think that, you know, might be a little PTSD for some folks. But he's a guy who uses his eyes really well. He's physical enough that he's able to, you know, body up with some, you know, tight end types. He's six foot one. And he's a guy who has shown an ability to get the football. And obviously we know that, you know, that Dan Quinn and company love guys who can force turnovers. So, he's like a fifth, sixth round type guy, fourth, fifth round type guy so certainly maybe a day three pick, but he's a name that I would kind of keep in the back of your mind as an interesting piece that I hope Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, everyone has identified as somebody who would be interesting kind of as a day three name.
That is one of the deepest pulls we've gotten, Mitchell. He's Dane's 32nd ranked corner, 7th round grade from Dane Brugler. But at that point, like day three, who cares about the not who cares about the grade, but everyone's grades are going to fluctuate dramatically. That's a good pull.
I didn't think Dane has him that far down. I think the last couple of mocks I saw him, I had him 5th round or so, but I trust Dane a whole lot. So maybe he knows a little bit more than I do about it. But I like the kid. I like what he brings to the table. And just kind of reading through his story and his, you know, what the coaches and folks around him had to say over at Kansas kind of got me a little intrigued.
Yeah, it is definitely, like, I understand why he's a late-round pick, but sometimes guys just have it in terms of the ball skills, the instincts and stuff. And so there you go. Melo Dotson, your late-round sleeper for Mitch Tischler. Watch out. Mitch, what are you guys doing for the draft on the Beltway Football Podcast? What can people look for this week?
Yeah, we're going to have podcasts up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, each night of the draft, after we get a chance to talk to Adam Peters and company when the rounds complete. I personally, or in person, will be up in Montreal for the Caps Canadian series. So it's going to be a lot of fun juggling the two, but I can't wait for the draft to come, and I can't wait to see how this front office coaching staff fills out this roster.
I personally would like to thank the NHL for making sure the Caps are on Wednesday, Friday this week and not on Thursday. That is very much appreciated. I know they did it for all of us. Mitchell, thank you so much, sir. Enjoy the draft and enjoy the Cap series.
Absolutely. Go Caps.
All right. Go Caps indeed. Mitchell Tischler, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Check out the Beltway Football Podcast wherever you get yours or on YouTube on the Monumental Sports page. When we get back here on the Team 980, we'll hear more from Adam Peters. He spoke today, as did Lance Newmark, in their pre-draft press conference. Pick 6 at 6 is next.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.